The Big Scary Show is sponsored in part by the following: Gantom Lighting and Controls, GANTOM, Gantom.com, and Dark Imaginings, Web Design, Changing Portraits, and More, DarkImaginings.com.
For the deepest, darkest crevices, to the backwoods swamp where you hit the bottom, from the inside of your casket to the fears lodged deep inside your subconscious, it's time for a Big Scary Show.
This is Jen Braverman from Trans World, and you've been listening to The Big Scary Show.
This is John Carroll Lynch, and you may know me from the American Horror Story, Freak Show, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hi, this is Jerry from Creepy Collection, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hello, creeps. It's me,
John Kassir, the voice of
the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to The Big Scary Show, the top podcast in the industry.
This is Patrick Voss with VFX, and you're listening to The
The Big Scary Show.
Hey, this is Doug with VFX, VFXcreates.com, and you're listening to The Big Scary Show.
Hey, what's going on? This is Mike with Hallucinations Creations, and you're listening to the greatest show on the internet, The Big Scary Show.
You're listening to The Big Scary Show with three big scary men and one that wears more makeup than I do.
And here it is, listeners, convention season. Meat Hook Jim here. I was going to put together a witty little musical number for my intro, but you know what? I don't feel like it. It's just going to be a straightforward, in-your-face intro. No fluff, no music. Well, maybe some music, but no fluff or exotic places. It's just Meat Hook Jim sitting in the studio trying to produce a show. So with that being said, on this episode of The Big Scary Show, we've got an interview with Jen Braverman of Transworld, giving Badger the who, what, when, where, and why of Transworld 2017. A little bit later on in the show, we have a roundtable of terror with Transworld vendors, including Creepy Collection, VFX, and Hallucinations Creations. The veterans to Transworld give the newbie some very sage advice about how to handle yourself as a vendor at Transworld. It's a pretty good listen. Badger, of course, brings us the latest in Deadline news. We have a gruesome giveaway answer this show. Do we have a winner or not? Eric Veister comes back to us with a review of the Dent Schoolhouse. Of course, Storm will be here to rant on in Haunt Minute. Jerry spins the spooky tunes. And me, I'm working on a new segment. I'll let it speak for itself. Always looking for some input. All of this. And that pretty much covers it here on The Big Scary Show.
It was intense.
When the apocalypse comes.
When I was running, I completely dodged an entire crowd of nine.
Will you survive?
You gotta act quickly.
Z-Tag brings the undead to life.
If you take your time, it's gonna be too late.
In a real-world challenge.
Next thing you know, you turn around, there's zombies.
Of speed, agility, and survival.
This is an awesome birthday.
It's zombies against humans.
Buildings, it was mazes. They're jumping out of everywhere.
Wear your ZTAG badge with its flashing LEDs and get into action.
It really felt like zombies were coming at you at the end when you see the red tags everywhere.
Hunt or be hunted. Take your pick.
It was a game you had to find.
Red light for zombies and green light for humans.
And you're like walking in and all of a sudden zombies come by.
Your survival instincts will be put to the ultimate test.
I would play ZTAG again.
Do you have what it takes? Hashtag play ZTAG.
And ladies and gentlemen, Drew Badger here, and can you believe it, folks? By the time this hits the air, we're going to be 1 week away from the start of convention season. You know, I'm already packing to head to Nashville for the first Haunters convention of the season, and after that, everyone's going to start looking at the big one of all. Not a convention, the big trade show, Transworld. My gosh, it's only maybe 8 weeks away. Oh, geez, I need to get packing for that, too, so... You know, what's going on with Transworld 2017, the big trade show, everybody loves it, everybody tries to make their plans to attend that, everybody seems to debut their new stuff. Whenever we talk Transworld, we have to talk to Jen Braverman. We do have her on the line, I believe, up in Chicago. Jen, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you?
Great to talk to you, as always, Jen. Thank you for taking some time out of your, no doubt, very busy schedule to talk to the Big Scary Show about Transworld 2017, happening March 23rd through the 26th at the America Center in St. Louis, as it has for the past few years. But Jen, let's ask you the big question. 2017's Transworld, what's going on? What's new?
What's new? Well, we have, I would say, probably over 75 new exhibitors that no one's ever seen before that are going to be at the show this year. So I think right off the bat, that's going to be a lot of different and new product that no one's seen. So we're really, really excited about that. We have a nice expanded show floor. This will be our largest show to date that we've ever had. So you definitely should wear your walking shoes when coming to the show. Got a lot of events going on. We're opening up for like a new Saturday night party at the Kitchen Sink. We made the party very affordable. It's $25 a head if you buy pre-show tickets. Going to kind of have a voodoo theme. We have a couple of really good sponsors for that event. We've got Donay Insurance and Fairworm Hauntvertising, and we got Venom VFX. And Venom's got a lot of new products that are voodoo-related, so you'll be able to get a chance to see those at the restaurant. But we've got bands going on. We're going to have heavy appetizers all night, two drink tickets. So I would say for $25, that's a lot of things, you know, that
and
are happening.
Where is this happening?
It's called the Kitchen Sink. It's pretty much right out the door of the Embassy Suites, really easy walking distance. We rented out the entire bar, and it's just going to be a lot of fun, kind of a gathering spot where everyone can gather on Saturday night and network before they leave. So we're really excited about it. It's the first time we've done our own Saturday night party.
It always seems that there's always parties going on. But there are
always
other people.
Yeah, it'll go from about 8 in the morning to 1. You know, 8 at night to 1 in the morning. So we're really excited. I mean, people obviously can do other events, too, that are going on. But, you know, if they get a chance, they can do a little bit of everything.
Very, very nice. Now, Jen, you said you have about 75 new vendors, expanded space in the America Center there. Last year, you debuted a brand new thing called Escape Room City. I assume that's going to be back and better than ever.
Escape Room City's, you know, back and better than ever. We're really excited about it. A lot of people are also doing even more advanced stuff this year, a lot of virtual reality, and it's expanded a lot. You know, the escape room industry in a whole is really starting to grow and evolve. So we're really excited. We've got more seminars for the escape rooms than we've had in the past to really support the growth on the show floor. And we're excited. We've got a great, great lineup for this year's seminars for Transworld. So we've had great response and people signing up already in that. So everything seems to be shaping up really well. Hotels are selling like crazy, and everything's good. We're really excited for this year's show. There seems to be a vibe. The exhibitors just seem really excited. You know, you talk to them on the phone, and they're like, we're so excited. We've been working and preparing, and we can't wait to debut our stuff. So it helps energize us as well, you know, to really feel good that they're just so excited that I know they're going to really bring some really good product. We've got a ton of people coming. I have a lot of overseas people that I've never seen before, and a lot of Canada. A lot of Canadians are coming. So we're excited. I mean, really, there's the show's growing. Last year, it grew over like 26% in attendance over the previous year. So things are good. They're definitely on an upswing, so I feel very positive going into the show.
And we're still about 2 months out from the actual show by the time that this airs. What percentage of the show floor would you say is sold out? If I'm assuming there's still more room for vendors that may be looking at a last-second decision whether or not they're going to go?
How much? I would say about 95% is sold out at this point. So we've already expanded. Rich already expanded the floor plan once, so he's in the process of doing that again.
Wow.
Actually, I think it's twice. So, yeah, so definitely, you know, it's definitely going to be a much bigger and better show. So I'm really excited. You know, we moved the VIP lounge this year. We kind of moved that more in the center of the show. We've done a lot of add-ons with VIP this year. The buyer board is going to be doing a panel discussion every single day, not Sunday, I'm sorry, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, which would be like another free seminar that's included. So you have three seminars that you get with the VIP package plus the additional three panel/seminars that you're going to get from buyer board. So it's a great deal too. You know, there's a lot, we have a lot of different packages for people, and we started a 5-pack this year of seminars where if you bought 5 seminars, you can get a discount. So you can pick any 5 you want. Some people are buying them, you know, a couple of 5-packs because they want to take a lot and they want to take a discount. So, you know, things are shaping up really good. You know, it's nice to have a lot of feedback from the industry. We really try to, you know, make things better when we get the feedback from them.
Now, I know your trade show floor is open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and about a half day on Sunday. Do you have any events going on before Thursday for people coming to St. Louis early, like maybe Wednesday?
Yeah, we do. We have on Wednesday night, after our speed seminars, we host a party at the Over Under, kind of like where people can just go and meet up and hang out before the show. And we have some hors d'oeuvres and things like that. You know, I know that a lot of the escape rooms in the area are going to be open, so if people want to go play some games. I also think, you know, Larry's got his haunt open as well this year, so we're really excited about that. There's a lot to do. I mean, Thursday night, we also have the opening night party, and we're doing a first ever debuting a nighttime seminar with Alan Hobbs that we're really super excited about as well.
Excellent.
It'll be Thursday night after the opening night party. So, you know, that's something new that we've never done before. It's an airbrush makeup fast and easy type of thing.
Will that be on the trade show floor, or where will that be located?
No, that'll be at the convention center from 7:30 to 9:30. So for anyone that doesn't want to miss out during the show, you can hear Alan speak at night, you know, on Thursday night.
Very nice.
So we're really excited about that, yeah.
You mentioned Larry and his haunts will be open. Are there any other haunts in the area that
actually
will be open?
Larry's actually open on Wednesday night for a behind-the-scenes private tour. So you've got Larry open Wednesday night. Yeah, so you've got my party that's open from 6 to 11. Larry's open from 6:30 to 8:30. You've got the escape rooms that are open. On Thursday, you've got the opening night party. Larry's open as well. The escape rooms are open. You know, Thursday night's always busy with the opening night party because it's free, and who doesn't like to drink and party, you know, and we've got a DJ, and all that's really fun. Friday, we've got the Trans World Attendee Breakfast, which people really, really enjoy. It's produced by the buyer board, and they give a lot of really helpful information, and people can go and listen and ask questions to a lot of industry experts that they wouldn't normally talk to. It's a great value. And then on Thursday, you also have the Haunted Attraction State of the Union. You've got their – no, I'm sorry, that's Friday. That's Friday. You've got their – on Friday, you've got the Haunted Attraction State of the Industry. You've also got their Oscars that's after that. You've got our City Museum party on Friday night. This year we're really excited. Donay Insurance and Froggies are sponsoring it. I think it's going to be great. We're going to have some activities planned as well. Larry Zombie Laser Tag is open up on Friday night. And then, on, you know, come Saturday, you've got the Haunted Attraction Live Auction. We've got our free escape room mixer. The Darkness has opened up. I know Skull and Bones is throwing their party as well. And then you've got auctions every day on the show floor for Don't Be a Monster, you know, that works with the exhibitors and does all that. So, you know, I think it's just, I think there's something to do for everyone at the show. You know, there's just a lot of different events, and depending on what your interests are, you certainly can keep yourself busy all day long.
It looks like you've got a bunch of new stuff going on and a bunch of social things, a bunch of educational things that have expanded. You've certainly, you know, Larry's expanded his haunts being open. The City Museum, that's always a highlight of the weekend, always fun. The parties, the over-under, the kitchen sink, the Friday breakfast. My goodness, it's almost too much to count and too much to take in at once. How are ticket sales and registrations going, and how are the hotels as far as being sold out or close to?
You know, some of the hotels are sold out already. Our website, for the most part, Stephanie's great at trying to keep working with the hotels and keeping everything really up to date. So there's some hotels that have just some random nights available, and then there's some hotels that, you know, definitely, you know, have options. You know, the Magnolia's good. The Lumiere, I think they just absolutely redid it. It's newly renovated. You know, a lot of the closer hotels, I believe, at this point are sold out. You know, the Drury Inn, I think, sells out before the show even closes. So you've got the Marriott Grand, which is, you've got a couple, you have some rooms there that are still available. The Holiday Inn, that's pretty much sold out. The Drury Inn, the other Drury Inn, pretty much sold out. Magnolia's got rooms. Embassy Suite is sold out. Hampton Inn, he's got some rooms on some nights. The Courtyard's got a bunch of rooms, so people should try that. The Four Seasons still does. So, you know, the Hilton Ballpark. So there's still plenty of hotels. You know, we got extra hotels this year to make sure that we could accommodate the growth of the show.
Sure.
So there's enough, you know, hotels still for people if they're still looking for rooms.
Well, for anybody that may be looking for rooms, may be looking for a little bit more information, ready to go ahead and register, ready to make those plane reservations, ready to make their travel plans to St. Louis, Missouri, March 23rd through the 26th. How can they get more information, learn more about the parties, the trade show, who's going to be vending? There's a great map on the, of the trade show floor out there. I think the Big Scary Show is 1444. We'll have to confirm that later. But how can they get all the information that they need for Transworld 2017?
I mean, if you just go ahead and you look at the website at haashow.com, it's pretty easy to navigate, and that'll have a listing of all the daily events, all the seminars. You can look and see what exhibitors are signed up. We have a nice exhibitor list plus a floor plan. And, you know, we've got the travel on there to be able to pick your hotels. We've got Escape Room City on there, too. You can see kind of what's going on with the speakers. We did a little bit of bios about them as well as what seminars are available. So, I mean, everything is pretty good. So it's pretty, a lot of things are pretty up to date at this point since we're a couple, you know, just 2 months out. So, you know, obviously if people have more information, if need more information that's on the current website, they can just feel free to give me a call, you know, and my phone number's on the website, and, you know, I can walk them through or help them with any questions they may have.
Excellent. We always appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us here on the Big Scary Show. I'm sure we're going to be having you on the phone to talk Midwest, maybe the Escape Room Conference you've got going on, Legendary, and everything else that you have your hands into later in the year. But for today, thank you for taking the time to talk about Transworld 2017. Jen Braverman, always great to have you here on the Big Scary Show. Once again, haashow.com. All the information, and hopefully we'll see you guys in St. Louis. Thanks a lot, Jen.
Thank you.
A cloud of fear descends upon St. Louis as Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show is open for business March 23rd through 27th, 2017 at the Americas Center. The Halloween and Attraction Show is the only industry trade show of its kind in the world. For two decades, Transworld has created the marketplace for the haunted house industry. We have everything you need to make your Halloween season a spooky success. The Halloween and Attraction Show combines the products and knowledge of hundreds of exhibitors you need to see this March. And we now feature Escape Room City, a segment of the show that caters to the escape room and adventure game industries. Whether you own and operate a successful escape room or are considering exploring this booming industry, Escape Room City vendors and seminars will appeal to both seasoned owners, novices, and all those in between. See you in St. Louis.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening carefully over the last couple of shows, you'll know that it's time to see if we have a winner for the January edition of the Gruesome Giveaway, sponsored by our very good friends, Screamline Studios. Please go to screamlinestudios.com. I'm sure all those fine folks would really appreciate you do. Well, you know how this worked. Last month we asked a question. We got some entries for that question. The answer was in the show. It was there several times mentioned, so we picked a random entrant, and I think we got her on the line. Random caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
My name is Jeannie Crowder, and I am from Crossville, Tennessee.
Jeannie Crowder, Crossville, Tennessee. Good to have you on the line here. Jenny, you know how this works. Got to ask you a couple of quick legal questions, find out if you're the winner.
All right.
First of all, have we contacted you in any way, shape, or form other than to tell you when to call in?
No, sir.
Okay. Question two, have you tried to influence us in any way into picking you, bribery or otherwise?
No, sir.
All right. Well, Jenny Crowder of Tennessee, if I recall correctly, the question for the Gruesome Giveaway for January was, from what numbered show did we pull out our classic roundtable going back all those many years ago?
I am going to go with episode 120.
Oh, Jenny Crowder, I'm afraid that is not the correct answer.
Oh.
Oh, man, this was one of our easier questions. No, the answer was episode 8. We had that in the description.
No.
We mentioned it in the intro. We even had it on the disclaimer before the show. But, Jenny, we do have a nice consolation gift that we'll be sending you in the mail. I'll just need to hold on and get you a little shipping information from you here. Jenny, do you own a haunt, work for a haunt, do a home haunt display or anything like that?
I do a home haunt, sir. It is called Hebbesburg Corner Cemetery.
Oh, fantastic. And that's in Crossville?
It is, sir.
Excellent. How'd you do this year? Had a lot of trick-or-treaters and all that come by?
Yeah, actually, we held it for everyone in the neighborhood, including school kids that go to schools with both of my kids. And then later on, around Halloween, we have a adult party. So it goes usually pretty well.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Well, Jenny, you didn't win the big prize from Screamline, but as I said, we do have a small secondary prize we'll send out to you just for participating in the Gruesome Giveaway. And thank you for being a listener.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Once again, this is Drew Badger. The Gruesome Giveaway for January, sponsored by Screamline Studios. And we'll be right back.
Audio Zombie, The Living Dead, on the Big Scary Show.
Thank you. Greetings, mortals, and anything else listening. Welcome to the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
We start out with a little bit of sad news from the world of horror. William Peter Blatty, who wrote the 1971 novel The Exorcist and 1973 feature film, passed away on January 12th. This news was shared by William Friedkin, who directed the feature adaptation of The Exorcist, widely considered the scariest movie ever made. Blatty may best be known for The Exorcist, but his contributions are much greater. He's also the director behind the 1980 cult classic The Ninth Configuration, starring Stacy Keach, Scott Wilson, and the exorcist Jason Miller. He would work with Miller once again in the 1990 Exorcist III, which would finally see a director's cut release last year through Scream Factory under the original title Legion. His novels include Which Way to Mecca, Jack, John Goldfarb, Please Come Home, I, Billy Shakespeare, Twinkle Twinkle, Killer Kane, The Exorcist, The Ninth Configuration, Legion, Demons 5, Exorcist Nothing, A Fable, and Demeter. The writer-director celebrated his 89th birthday this past January 7th. The cause of death is unknown at this time. The Big Scary Show sends its condolences to the family, friends, and fans of William Peter Blatty and offers up this moment of silence. We have this announcement from the Midwest Haunters Convention coming to Columbus, Ohio. Save the dates! We are excited to announce that the Midwest Haunters Convention 2017 will feature a two-day pre-show haunted house tour to the Louisville, Kentucky area June 7th and 8th. We're still working out the details and more haunted attractions are being added, but so far we've confirmed the following. The Haunted Hotel, 7th Street Haunt, The Devil's Attic, Face Your Fears Hotel, Wicked World Scaregrounds, Sinister Tombs, and The Dent Schoolhouse in Cincinnati. Details and pricing are coming very soon, so keep watch on MidwestHauntersConvention.com for all the information. Midwest Haunters is happening June 9th through the 11th in Columbus, Ohio. We have a little news from Shocktober's Paxton Manor in Leesburg, Virginia. Paxton Manor will open its doors for three nights in Fear Brewery, Friday the 10th, Saturday the 11th, and Sunday the 12th for My Bloody Valentine 2017. These not-so-romantic tours are not for the faint of heart. Get more information at shocktober.org. We have an update from Days of the Dead in Atlanta. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actor, director, and special effects master Tom Savini to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Atlanta, happening February 3rd through the 5th at the Sheraton Atlanta downtown. Regarded as the godfather of modern horror makeup and special effects, Savini is notably known for his work on such films as Dawn of the Dead, Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter, Creepshow, The Prowler, Day of the Dead, Maniac, and many, many more. Savini has also appeared as an actor in such films as Knight Riders, Martin, From Dusk Till Dawn, and Land of the Dead, just to name a few. In 1990, he directed a remake of the George Romero classic, Night of the Living Dead, starring Bill Moseley, Tony Todd, and Patricia Tallman. Tom Savini joins previously announced guests Linda Blair, Twiggy, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Jeff Hardy, Kevin Nash, Bill Johnson, Caroline Williams, Bill Moseley, Kane Hodder, and many, many more. For more info and to purchase tickets, visit daysofthedead.net. We have a little news on the 2017 Vampire Ball happening in Lincoln, Nebraska. The culture of the vampire is steeped in glamour, style, and sophistication. It's the perfect backdrop for a Valentine's Day celebration. With that in mind, on February 14th, Portal Events invite you to enter this world with its Vampire Ball. The Rococo Theater provides the perfect gothic backdrop for this elegant macabre celebration. Come dance the night away with Mosynth. Enjoy vampire-themed specials at the bar. Photographer Robert Worth of Studio Orange has figured out how to capture vampires on print and offers an elegant setting for photos to mark the event. and there will be dessert nibbles on all the tables. Stay tuned to Portal Events social media platforms for more announcements and updates as the event approaches. Doors open at 8 p.m., welcoming at 9 p.m., and tickets are $25 a person or $30 a person day of the event. Tickets are on sale now via the Rococo Theater's box office. Please note you will select your table and booth at time of the purchase. You must be 18 with a government-issue photo ID, no exceptions, and in proper dress code, no jeans or sneakers, etc. With vampire, formal, medieval, steampunk, or gothic attire, masquerade masks and vampire fangs are highly encouraged. Get more info at the Rococo Theater's website at Rococo, R-O-C-O-C-O, theater, with an R-E, .com. This news from the Dark Knights Terror Trail in Elgin, South Carolina. Join the Dark Knights Terror Trail for a Valentine to remember. Once you step through the gate, you'll be immediately immersed in what could possibly compare to The Walking Dead. You and your true partner will be finding supplies to survive the zombie attacks, which can happen anywhere at any time. This is a 2-hour zombie survival experience, which is frightening. At times, you may be in total darkness, hear loud sounds, see flashing lights, and come into contact with scare actors. This experience will require you to follow a map and find items that you will need in order to survive the experience. The dates are Saturday, February 11th, and Sunday, February 12th, and Valentine's Day, Tuesday the 14th. Ticket prices are $50 a couple. Space is limited, as each scenario is set up for a maximum of 12 couples, or 24 people total. The adventures start at 6:15 p.m. each night and last 2 hours. Please arrive 15 minutes prior to your reservation time for processing and orientation, and you must purchase tickets in advance. You must be 18 or older to participate. If you're 16, you may participate if accompanied by a parent, and please bring your ID. This activity will require you to walk on uneven surfaces outside and is not recommended for women that are pregnant or anyone with heart conditions or other health problems that may be made worse by participation in the Zombie Valentine experience. Get more information on their Facebook page at facebook.com/TheDarkKnights, that's Knights with a K, Terror Trail. We have a little news on the 2017 Florida Fear Mart happening in Winter Haven, Florida. New for 2017, the Shallow Grave in Winter Haven and Tampa's Chamber of Terror are coming together to bring you a full day of mayhem involving a swap meet where you can buy, sell, or trade. Plenty of open space to set up your stuff, or you can rent a covered space for a small fee. The Shallow Grave will have plenty of stuff on hand to sell as well. We're also offering free sinister seminars from the owner and operators of two of Florida's best haunted attractions, the Shallow Grave and Chamber of Terror. Not to mention door prizes, a Q&A session, and even a makeup demo from Sci-Fi's Face-Off's Scott Fensterer. Did we say it's free? From 3 to 6 p.m., we will open up the Shallow Grave Haunted Attraction for lights-on, total access of Florida's most detailed haunted houses for only $10 a person. Food vendors will be on hand, so come out and hang with some good friends and score some stuff for this year's haunt season. Happening Saturday, February 25th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., get more info at facebook.com/TheShallowGraveProductions. And finally, we have this news from the Don't Be a Monster charity auction happening at Transworld. Don't Be a Monster is looking for any and all forms of donations, whether it be props, rentals, lights, fog, costumes, masks, music, you name it, for our third annual silent auction that will take place at Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show 2017. Last year we had over 100 Transworld vendors from Ghost Ride, Scare Factory, Gantom, Fright Props, Foggy's Fog, Gore Galore, even the Big Scary Show participated, and this year's auction will be even bigger. Don't Be a Monster is a 501c3 national bullying prevention organization founded by haunted house owners and industry insiders. We work side by side with haunted houses to deliver bullying prevention assemblies to students in grades 4 through 10 throughout the U.S. 100% of your donation will go towards funding Don't Be a Monster. Therefore, your donation is tax-exempt. In exchange for your donation, you will receive the following. Your logo on a banner that will be posted all weekend at the Don't Be a Monster booth, which is booth 1907. A donor highlight on the Don't Be a Monster website, a receipt for your donation, a small sign to hang in your booth letting Transworld attendees know you are part of the silent auction. Deadline for submissions is March 1st. Your donation does not exclude you from placing bids on other items. For more information about Don't Be a Monster or your donation, contact Aaron Kelly, Aaron.Kelly, that's Erin.Kelley, at don'tbeamonster.org, or call 720-417-9661. You could also reach Chris Stafford, Chris at 13thfloormail.com, John Love, John, J-O-N, at 13thfloormail.com, or Mike Tattoo Krausert, Mike.Krausert, K-R-A-U-S-E-R-T, at 13thfloormail.com, or check out don'tbeamonster.org.
Remember, folks, if you have news about the haunt, horror, or Halloween industry, please send it to us at news@bigscaryshow.com, and we'll get it on the air. No news is too big or too small. This concludes this edition of the Big Scary Show's Deadline News.
Want to take your haunt to a new dimension of terror? Then let Dark Imaginings conjure up some ghoulish graphics and web design services for your home, haunt, or crypt. Since 2007, professional and home haunters alike have trusted our award-winning and dedicated skeleton crew to make their nightmares come true. Whether you need graphic design services, logos, websites, spooky visuals, or creepy changing portraits, we can help your business look its scary best. To see more of our products and services, drop by darkimaginings.com. Let us help you get ahead of your competition.
Greetings, haunters. Meat Hook Jim here. Well, here we are, 2017. And you know, it's time to mix things up again on my segment. But I'm going to reach out for a little bit of help this time. I've done several segments over the past almost 5 years. Face Your Fears with All Phobias. Supernatural Cryptids and Scare Actor Spotlight. So what I'm looking for is feedback. If you had a favorite segment that I did in the past, let me know. If I haven't done something you think would be compelling, send me a note. I'm open-minded. And, you know, if I get a great suggestion from a listener, I'll make sure that that gets put into every intro. Something along the lines of you submitting the question. And it's just a little way for me to say thanks because I'm just having a mental block for some reason. But, again, if you like one of my older segments, let me know. Any feedback, hate mail, bookings, whatever you want. Email me, usa@bigscaryshow.com, and I will respond to every email that's sent, and let's collaborate together. Let's create a new segment. Until then, stay scary.
The Pine Box Boys, Mr. Skeleton, on the Big Scary Show.
Stories told, our Mary died out in the cold on a hill about a mile out of town. They found her old man dead in another woman's bed, and old Mary's whole world came crashing down. She bit the finger off her hand that wore the shiny wedding band and sat there in the cold to wait to die. And who could say what sparkled more? The diamonds on the ring she wore, the shimmer of the frozen tears she cried. And through the mist, oh, Mr. Skeleton, I guess you're coming after me. I won't be missed, oh, Mr. Skeleton. So I will freely go with thee.
Now, Willie saved up hard, but he blew it all on Ryan cards. He lost his shirt and one leg of his pants. He used to have more class. He had a horseshoe up his ass. He was a master of games of skill and chance.
But that night was rough when old Red called his bluff, and Willie was only holding pocket eights.
You could see old Willie frown when Fifth Street came round, cause he knew old Red had finally made it straight.
Then through the mist, oh, Mr. Skeleton, I guess you're coming after me. I won't be missed, oh, Mr. Skeleton, so I will freely go with.
And heck, pretty much everything else, it seems. But when I close my eyes, the curtain starts to rise, and Mr. Skeleton comes dancing to my dreams. But when I wake at dawn, the dream lingers on, and vainly for better days I pray. But I've given up all cards, and love is just as hard, and I wonder when I lost the will to play.
Get through the mist, oh, Mr. Skeleton. I guess you're coming.
Ladies and gentlemen, the views expressed on the Roundtable of Terror do not necessarily reflect the opinions or views of its guests, sponsors, or anything, but of course it will make for rather interesting conversation. Welcome again to the Roundtable of Terror here on the Big Scary Show, sponsored by our very good friends, Necrotic Creations. Well, you know, folks, this is being recorded in the middle of January. It's cold, it's wintry outside, it's icy. So let's talk Trans World coming to March, St. Louis, Missouri, as it has for the last few years. You know, it's already time for convention season. Where does the time go? It just seems like we were talking Christmas. So as we've done for the last couple of years, we bring on a few vendors who are vending at Trans World, maybe a new guy who's never vended at Trans World. Along with our co-host, we have a big conversation. It's just that simple. So we're going to talk a little bit about Trans World coming to the America Center in St. Louis in March. We'll give out the websites and all that a little later, but we want to thank our guests for taking time out of their no doubt very busy schedules getting ready for the show to come and join us. We'll start with Patrick Voss and Doug Schaefer from VFX.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Good to have you guys here. You know, if you haven't seen their products, you've probably heard of them or heard them laughing at various conventions and things. We'll talk about what they do in a minute. Our very good friend and very fine sponsor, Jeremy D'Alessandro, up in New York by God City with Creepy Collection, been with us as a sponsor pretty much from the beginning. Great to have you here, Jeremy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Always great to have that very thick New York accent on our show. And Got a new guy here, first time. He's one of those long-time first-time guys. Been going to Transworld since the Chicago days. Mike Yazumbek with Hallucinations Creations down in Orland Hills, Illinois. First-time vendor in St. Louis. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me here.
Great to have you, as well as our usual co-hosts, including Storm.
Badger, I got to say, that was probably the worst, introduction, disclaimer I've ever heard. The right way to do it is, ladies and gentlemen, listeners of the Big Scary Show, prepare yourselves. For the next 40 minutes, you'll be listening to the regular co-hosts and four sleep-deprived, working very hard for the Transworld Show vendors. Prepare for falling puns, obscure references, and really bad jokes. Strap yourselves in. It's the Roundtable of Terror, Transworld Vendor Edition. Yay!
Storm wins.
Yeah, he wins. You're hard. End of show, guys. Let's give the plugs. In Cincinnati, Meat Hook Jim.
Well, you know what? It's the middle of January, like you said, but it was 60 freaking degrees outside today.
Woohoo! And it was what last week?
I don't want to talk about that.
Finally, we can say it once again with gusto from Columbus, Ohio, the Hauntstrumentalist, Jerry Vane.
Yeah, I have to agree with Meat Hook. Yes, the 60s were quite nice, but I'm a 70s child, so hey.
As someone who was born in the 60s, I don't remember too much of it. I was only 3 when the 70s started. My name is Drew Badger in Charlotte. Gentlemen, great to have you here. We're talking Transworld. I'll throw out the first question. Gentlemen, and this primarily goes to the vendors who've been there and done it before, why go to Transworld at all? Why spend the money? Why spend the time? Why travel to St. Louis?
Are you talking about vending or attending?
Both.
Because
don't all talk at once, guys.
Let them start with vending.
Okay, let's start with vending. Great idea.
It's our biggest show of the year, every year. There's so many. I mean, it's our main market, the haunt industry, and they've over the past few years have been in. They've been advertising internationally, and we've had a lot more international sales, like literally all over the world. And like I said, it's the biggest show of the year. We make the most money at Transworld. Next.
And Patrick, with VFX there, tell everybody who may not be familiar with VFX what you guys create and vend at places like Transworld and other cons.
Our main products are the attack line puppets. You may know Sally Zombie or Psycho the Clown. You might have heard him laughing at one of the shows. That's him.
That
AKA Doug.
Oh, what? Oh. Sorry, Psycho is sitting next to me.
But we have these are the life-size puppets that you wear and scare people with. They have sound systems in them, Puppet Master sound systems. They're very lightweight. You can wear them for hours. We've been doing really well with them. Then we came out with our lunging line last year, which is taken off pretty nicely too. And which was pretty much the brainstorm of Doug. And
brain fart, whichever.
that's mainly the main products we put out there. We do have our sound systems, and we're developing some more things right now for Transworld this year. We have too many ideas on our list that we don't have time to get to. It's crazy.
And let's not forget Doug's magnets.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to take those to the small shows, so those will probably be at HauntCon.
Those are fantastic, though. I mean, hand-drawn everything. Jeremy, you've been doing Transworld for a number of years with Creepy Collection. Give us a who, what, where, when, why of Creepy Collection, and why do you always seem to go to Transworld, as well as you visit some others from time to time?
Well, let me see. This will be my 10th show, so this is a special show for me this year.
So I've been going to Trans World. I've attended Trans World when it was in Chicago, in Rosemont. Not as a vendor, though. And, Patrick, I want to tell you, though, before I go into this, your puppets are amazing. I always thought that. But
thank you.
I love how they always end up on my Facebook by my relatives that tag me in them. Like, I've met, like, guys, I've seen these years ago. And they're like, oh, who makes, where have you seen this, Mr. Dulles? You know, Jeremy DeLisandro. I'm tagged constantly in your puppets. So,
awesome. Thank you.
Like, yeah, I've only seen it like 5 years ago, guys. Thanks for catching up. They're like, did you make that? I'm like, no, I don't make everything that's out there. No. It's like, dude, God bless them. But Mike, I'll talk directly to you since you're a newbie about my experience at Trans World. Prepare yourself. The first time I went as a vendor, we were like 10 by 10. And, you know, I went there with a lot of like emotion, you know. The Halloween industry meant a lot to me, and that show was the mecca show back then, as it is today, if not even more today. The Haunt Show, which was a small part of the actual Trans World show my first year I attended, was like just upstairs in a couple of aisles.
Oh, and the whole Party Expo show they had with the costumes.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
It was nothing compared to what today. It's the whole show. So it has grown immensely over the years, as well as there's been more haunts, and haunts come in, haunts go out, vendors, and vendors go in, vendors go out, but everybody always goes to Trans World. And yes, they're broadening their base by getting in more and more type of businesses from abroad. The escape rooms have been exploding over there, as well as here now, and as well as haunted products all overseas. So these customers are coming. You have, you know, theme parks that come attend the show, as well as home haunters. You know, I think it was 2 years ago. I was just talking about this with Jen on the phone just recently about Agritainment, and I was like, I saw those badges 2 years ago, and I didn't even know what the hell that was. I was like, they're walking around Trans World, and I'm like, what is that? And then someone said, oh, those are farmers. So they're reaching out to farmers. I'm like, wow, I wouldn't have known that, you know, otherwise, because I didn't know that technical term. So I was like, wow, very cool. But Trans World is always growing. You're going to be, I mean, the best advice I can give you is get plenty of rest, you know, when you're there. Talk, you know, don't over talk outside the show, because you will lose your voice by Saturday, and Saturday's the most important day. So you want to make sure. You know, after Saturday, talk as much as you want outside. Go outside. I've lost my voice many of Saturday mornings and regretted it. And I was like chugging down anything hot and teas and coffees just to try to get it back, and lozenges. Bring lozenges just in case. And, you know, just go for it, man. You belong. You know, you got your booth there, and just, you know, go for it. Rep what you're doing, and just have great products. And, And most importantly, being a new vendor, what I would say is don't overextend yourself. I see that being a lot when someone first comes out the gates, where they tend to overpromise and fail to deliver. That would be the worst thing that you could do at that show. So you want to make sure that you could, you know, deliver, get your fair share. Don't discount too much, but just enough that, you know, you got to grow your business. And, you know, don't drop your pants, so to speak, for every single order and overpromise and this and that, and you'll be just fine.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cool. Appreciate it, man. Yeah, I'm kind of nervous, but you know, I was staking it out for a few years and seeing how the vendors worked, and you know, like kind of, you know, judging it out. I think I got a feel for it, but it's still getting a little overwhelming, you know, to actually see that. You know, I'm been wanting to start up a business and been there for years, and actually I'm actually doing it now, you know.
It's good.
So Mike, what exactly is Hallucinations Creation, since it is a new company vending there?
Well, it's a new business I've always wanted to do, you know, ever since, you know, going to Chicago when I was, you know, 18. We do all animatronics, different type of, you know, effects, water effects. I started out doing, actually, when I was 16, I got hit up by Reaper's Realm over in Indiana. It was like the biggest haunted attraction, and the guy was like, you know, I seen stuff at your home haunt, you know, it looks really cool. Can you build stuff for us? And I was like, yeah, I was a 16-year-old kid, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, that'd be awesome, you know? You know, fast forward 12 years later, here I am at Transworld, you know, so. Do a lot of animatronics, some advertising props that, you know, the haunts can place out at different places to advertise their haunt. Some clown stuff, you know, a little bit of everything. Trying to do stuff that other animatronic companies haven't had, because a lot of the stuff is more or less the same stuff reduplicated with different bodies on it. I'm trying to do a little different animation, so okay. We'll see how it goes.
We'll definitely pop by your booth and check out everything that you've got there. Is there any one thing that you're kind of riding or betting the farm on and hoping that this is the one product that takes off, or are you kind of expecting
all
to do well? Or
no, or exactly. I got these two products that I'm pretty confident on that I'm gonna try to pitch to sell on that, like be like the, you know, the highlight props of the company to really, you know, make us stand out of our first year or so, which is going to be our advertising props, which I think, you know, not only the haunted attraction, but, you know, other attractions could use it also. So sure. We'll see how it goes. And, you know, last year at Transworld, I actually met Dave Schonk from Closed Casket Studios. And we became pretty good buddies online and worked out a deal where he's actually doing some of the sculpting for the heads and whatnot, the hands and heads. So I'm outsourcing those through him, only for some props. I started digging into it myself, like the clown. I totally made that one. There's a few other ones that I totally sculpted. So I'm trying to network with other companies and, you know, see how it goes. So he's getting business. I'm getting business. You know, it's everybody's happy at the end, you know.
Make sure you have plenty of catalogs.
Yeah, that when you first said, you know, you got any questions, that was going to be one of the questions. How many catalogs would you say to have? 5,000 plus?
I don't know, Doug. How many do you think we go through at Transworld? Like 3,000? Three to five.
It was at least 3,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the most we give out at any show, but we're specifically, you know, haunt-driven, so we go to some other shows, and it's like, they may be more attended, but not everybody buys haunt stuff, so like when we go to the IAPA show, it's all theme parks, so we don't, you know, give out as many catalogs there. But yeah, I'd say Transworld, 2,000 minimum. I don't know how many products you have, Mike, so I mean, you might just have a flyer or something like that.
Starting out, you know, I'm not going... Just like Jerry was saying, I don't want to go too full overboard and offer a bunch of stuff. So I'm only going to have 10 products to start out with.
Perfect. Nothing. You can probably get away with like a double-sided flyer or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can have like an 8.5 high gloss, high cardstock, you know, double-sided sheet just to start off with. Because an 8-page catalog, I think it would be one prop page, which, you know, it'd look too plain, so...
Mike, I never bring catalogs. I bring like price sheets and show specials.
To take away.
Right, we give something to take away, but I've never officially done a catalog yet. I think I've went through anywhere between, I would say, 3,000 to 5,000 flyers, maybe 6. Sometimes we have to run across the street. Now, what I've learned over the years is, you know, when you're in your aisle, don't give everybody a catalog that walks by your booth. Not everybody, you know, my guys have a tendency to do that. And last year I told them to cut that out because we're running out of these, flyers very fast. I was like, you know, I only give them if they ask. I was like, can I have a show? So here you go. Give it to them. Otherwise you're just giving them all out, you know?
Right.
So if, you know, have your show specials, And just give them out to the people that ask, you know, come to you. You'll do better that way. Plus, there's always, there's a little inside. You got FedEx Kinko's downstairs inside the, is it still the Renaissance or it changes name now? I don't know. It will always be the Renaissance.
It's always going to be the Renaissance.
Exactly, the Ren. So right downstairs, you got a UPS store. Two blocks down from the convention, you have a FedEx Kinko's. So you could just, like, I've sent my guy many a times just to go make 500 more. You know, oh, my God, go make 500. Go make, you know. So you could always do that. Now, being at St. Louis, they don't operate the same times as I'm used to, so you got to watch your times over there. I think they close by 5 o'clock. So, you know, like, I'm used to Kinko's being open super late and, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night. So sometimes 24 hours. So it's like, I was like, 5 o'clock on a Saturday, they're closing. What is this? I was like, we need more flyers. So go hurry up. Go make them. So, yeah, that, just don't give them to everybody. And give them to the people that ask. 10 is a great way to start, man. That's a great number. And only advice I can give you as far as, you know, these products that you're making. I've made some products that, you know, you can never – it's like you put your fingers on the pulse of the market and, you know, sometimes you don't hit it right. Don't take offense. Sometimes your idea may be ahead of the market a little bit and it may take time. So these two that you think is going to be like the super winners – may not tend to be, and don't think that there's something wrong with you. Like, how, like, if you come back, like, there's plenty of times I've designed props that I thought were going to be the biggest thing since sliced bread, and we were going to sell so many of them. I was like, oh my God, that's the greatest prop I've ever made. Like I should dip it in 24 karat gold. The biggest loser I had at the booth that year. And I'm like,
isn't sitting there,
like, what the hell did I do wrong? I don't get it. Is it me? Did I guess this wrong? I mean, I thought this thing was incredible. Then, after the season, next season, that thing starts selling like crazy. This has happened many a time. Sometimes you just, you know, being a vendor, our minds could be a little ahead of actual where our customers are at the moment. And we could be propelling them to stretch themselves into new areas of, you know, horror. And new movements, let's say, from animatronic or a new design aspect that they're not fully there yet on. It doesn't – don't take it to heart is what I'm telling you. I don't do it no more. I just throw a lot of things out there. Hey, whatever. You know, and then we have plenty of instances. Right. So just put your best forward and go for it.
Yeah, that's you know, came up with a few ideas and we'll just see what happens. Like – I'm kind of like how you start. I just got a 10 by 10 to start with. So nothing too crazy. You know, just for the 10 props, I think it'll be perfect. So
my best advice, you might get plenty of pictures of your booth. Because down the road, you're going to look back and laugh at that booth. Like I do now.
Yeah. You're like, man, that was me. And now
you're going to be like, oh, my God, that was my booth. Look, I went there with that. Watch.
Yeah, and you got what, a double 10 by 30s?
No, I got 5, and I'm I got 5 boots for Creepy Collection. I got, well, I really shouldn't say this, but we got 4 boots somewhere else. I'm not mentioning where because it's actually in line with somebody. So, and I'm considering another boot this year too. So it'll be 6 for Creepy and 4, so it'll be 10 boots altogether. God willing, I can pull it all off.
You pretty bastard.
I'm trying. Strategies, people. Strategies.
Well, that brings up...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, that brings up an interesting subject, especially a show like Transworld. Is there a point where you have too much of something, whether it be too much variety in product or too much dungeon dressing at your booth?
I can answer this for my 2012 booth, which was 300 life-size new props in 4 booths. It was so bad that Tattoo was hanging around the booth because he knew I was going to throw him stuff in the interactive because I couldn't fit it all. And it overwhelmed. I think sometimes, yes, too much is no good. Like comparatively now, what I'm doing now with all that space, it would be like 2,000 props, my old thinking. But no, we're going more space, but we're going with different levels of props in different areas, if that makes any sense. So while the show may have, you know, like high-end buyers that are looking for to spend good money on a really quality item, I'm actually now spreading more of the floor into other areas where we're going to represent mid-range in our economy lines at other places in the set. So let's say, like, you know, haunts that are not looking to spend big money, they have the opportunity to get some stuff from us, too.
Patrick and Doug, have over the years, you've changed your strategy for what you bring the booths and how you display it?
I'd say it changes every year.
Yeah.
But we just come up with different products, so.
Yeah. We just did a show, the IAPA show, and we're strategizing for that. And Doug, as always, I mean, his creative mind won't stop. And he's like, I want to build this and I want to build that, you know, for the booth. And and I finally told him, well, I don't want to bring the trailer, so everything we bring is going to fit in my truck. So we minimized and pretty much focused what we, you know, probably tried to design the booth to focus on our products and not be, you know, hey, look at our booth. Look at how cool our booth is that we built, you know, this castle motif and everything, unless you're selling that, you know, that kind of thing.
That's, but it would have been really, really cool looking.
Yeah, see, it might be different for Transworld because we're so close.
Patrick, it's interesting you brought that up because I read on the internet a while ago that it was a post out there that said vendors should focus more on their products and less on the aesthetics of the booth, that they're putting too much energy into erecting these giant booths with all this, you know, stuff, and they would wish that they would focus more on their products. So I've always focused on the products more than the actual booth.
Yeah.
At Transworld, I always figure it's the products that are going to sell. It's not going to be whatever I have behind it. So,
yeah, I think it's kind of a mix. So, you know, as far as like you want to attract people to the booth. So, and I think that's why a lot of people will build, you know, like some really crazy stuff, big stuff that just gets attention and gets people to your booth. And this year we actually have the Creature Revenge Studios across from us, which we're good friends with, and we're plotting some fun stuff with them for our aisle. So you never know what we're going to come up with. We'll see.
Very nice. I do want to take the time to remind everybody, you are listening to the Roundtable of Terror Transworld Vendors with Doug and Patrick from VFX, Mike from Hallucinations Creation, and our good friend Jeremy from Creepy Collection. We're going to take a quick break, pay a couple of bills, and we'll be right back.
You know how it is. You're alone. There's the internet. You start clicking. You're looking for something necrotic. Some things, you see, your grandmother wouldn't call necrotic. Click on some other sites. Whoa, that is just way, way too necrotic. But then you find Necrotic Creations. Necrotic. You may not know what necrotic means, but you know it when you see it. Get Necrotic. Necrotic Creations. Shop anytime at necroticcreations.com.
And we're back to the Roundtable of Terror talking vendors at Transworld. We've got Mike from Hallucinations Creations, brand new vendor, Jeremy D'Alessandro from Creepy Collection, great sponsor of the Big Scary Show, and Doug and Patrick from VFX, great guys all around. Storm, I think you said you had a question while we were off the air.
Well, sure. I mean, we're talking a little bit about networking and, you know, vendors working together with each other. And I was curious, too, are enough vendors approaching other vendors for business, or should they really be concentrating on the end user as sales?
This is Doug at VFX. I mean, I know we try to work with other vendors, whether it be utilizing them, like Mike said he's doing with some people for sculpts and stuff. I don't know so much for full-on products, but, you know, pieces and stuff like that, definitely, I would say, at least as far as VFX is concerned. We team up with people all the time. We've teamed up with Von Caron. We made a Sally, Psych Ward Sally version with a Von Caron commitment code.
Great jacket.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, as far as VFX goes for vendors and doing business with other ones, we like to talk to other vendors and see what we can help them with and they can help us with. So If I can see more of that in the industry, I'm happy about it because that means everyone's working together to make better stuff.
Have you ever had a prop or something that you were selling, like maybe a latex or something tear, and you've got to go run and find somebody selling latex or something like that?
I've attended several shows, and I'll look for, you know, vendors that might have a hot glue gun or something like that for a quick. I mean, I would say most people have a toolbox. I would say that too, Mike. Bring a toolbox because you'll be repairing stuff on the fly. If you don't have one, you know, most other vendors probably at this point that have done it for more than 1 year know to bring their kind of oh crap kit, which is a kit full of everything they think they need to fix stuff.
Gotcha. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you, we bring airbrushes, we bring airbrush paint, glue sticks, glue guns, you name it.
Yeah.
We bring it to the show. Ladders, this, that, yada, yada. As far as the question about vendors working together, we have. I mean, I've worked with quite a few vendors. We've done a lot with people who do animatronics because we don't. So being that we manufacture a lot of statics, so they've been, you know, partnering with me to do movement. All I can say is, you know, I'm not, you know, at not every relationship works out, and that's just the way it is. And that's even as far as vendors pairing up. You're only as good as your vendors. Remember that, Mike, if you do partner up with someone. So the advice I could give you is that your customer ain't going to see through the veil of who you're working with. So they come through you, they're going to buy through you. So if someone's making something for you, you have to make sure that they're reliable as well to get you those products, because at the end of the day, that customer is going to come down on you, not the person in behind the scenes that they don't know about.
Oh yeah. So
you got to make sure that you're, you know, one, that's one thing. Two, also Halloween season tends to take over. We've got the biggest vendors that we buy costumes and wigs from and, you know, stuff that we need to create our products. And if they're having a bad, like, run of season or whatever the case may be, they're not getting stuff out, it slows us down to a crawl because, you know, we're relying on them to get us our stuff. And meanwhile, they're, you know, gearing up with big amounts of orders themselves. I don't know. We know every year Halloween season's coming and we should stack ourselves against it, but I guess some people don't. And it slows us down. So, and who takes the brunt of that? We do. Because we have to field the phone calls. Why my clown ain't out? Because the costume didn't come in yet. The wig's not available yet. We can't. They're backlogged on this. They're backlogged on that. So that's something to think about when you're going to be approaching vendors. Is, you know, make sure you approach the right ones, the ones that have good reputations. Because, you know, you don't want to get yourself in a hole either on somebody else's bad reputation, is my point.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally understand where you're coming from. Cool. Yeah, that's, you know, that's the last thing, you know, I'd want to sell, you know, 20 zombie guys and not have the same exact head or, you know, to go back on that. And then, you know, what do you do in that case? You know, you got to find a substitute.
It's not even a question of that, but it's a question of if someone else is creating them for you, can they make them fast enough when you need
right.
them? That's the question. That's more the what I was talking about. Is like when that time comes. See, Transworld's funny, right? Because you're gonna go into Transworld and you could have a ton of sales at Transworld, and you could have, you know, mediocre sales at Transworld. But no matter what, there's more coming down the pipeline. You know what you see on the show floor, the sales that you do occur there, you're gonna get more later. They boomerang. It's like a boomerang. It comes back at you. Sometimes it can come back even more than what the show gave you when you were at the show. And you're going to have those pop-up sales that are going to come late August. Like, hey, can I still get the show discount, even though it's August? Hey, by the way, we're opening in September. You know? And you already got a log of orders and all this stuff is going on. So at that point, while that's going on for you, it's kind of going on for everybody else in the whole industry that does this and bends and this and that. So when that guy who may be able to make you that head or an odd thing, that animatronic come March very easily because it's dead, may become a bigger problem in August, September when they have other orders. That's where staffing comes in and, you know, being ready to ride that tidal wave of orders that are falling.
Yeah.
it can get very scary, you know. And basically what I'm trying to tell you is make sure you get with reputable people and that, you know, you check up on them also before doing any business with them. Make sure you look, you know, what kind of ratings they got, what kind of talk is there about them, are there reviews, anywhere negatives, saying bad stuff. Because if they're doing that out there, they'll probably do it to you and drag you in on it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in that sense, are there red flags that jump out on either side, buying or selling, when you're closing a deal?
Yeah, I mean, there are. Of course, there's always red flags. I mean, we had, you know, we get chargebacks. Those are the best. When we did, we sent the props, and I have to fight on the customer side. Stuff you never hear about. There are people that, you know, purchase stuff and give a deposit and never come through with the other half. So, yeah, and then there's vendors that, you know, say they're going to get stuff out, and come October, you ain't got your props. You know, I wish it was, I tell you, I wish everything was a perfect world all the time, but it, of course it's not. So, you know, like, we make mistakes. We've lost a prop this year, you know, or two in shipping. We're human, you know, that we were doing so many orders. We make it up. You know, we stand by what we do. The problem is there's a lot of people out there, for whatever reason, I don't know, but there's always this glass wall of, we ain't going to talk bad about the people. We're not going to talk. But, you know, it kind of, there's always on both sides horror stories. You know, I think one of the worst things was a customer of mine in 2012. I saw him in 2013 Transworld. He looked like he wanted to put a gun in his mouth. And I said, what's going on? What's the matter? You look so depressed. He's like, I'm closing my haunt. And I gave a vendor $15,000 and they never delivered in October. And I was like, oh my God. And he told me who it was, and they were not at the show either. And I said, well, they're not here. And he's like, I know, but I just in case they show up, just in case I see them. You know, that's a horror story. That's $15,000 that this guy lost, you know? It's like, if I don't get one prop out on time, I'm having conniptions, you know? Especially come season, because I know everyone needs them. You know, we have to do our job so everyone else could do their jobs. You know, so we don't sleep in this side of the world. And sleep easy. But, you know, it is definitely a lot on both sides that I've noticed. And you know, it's just not necessary. It's just not necessary. I always talk to new vendors more than I talk to existing vendors, because I like to see, like, Mike, you start out right. If you know, I have a firm belief, if you plant a tree and you plant it right in the ground, that tree's going to grow up big and strong, you know? So I always try to give newbie horners and newbie vendors a lot of advice so they grow strong.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Everything you're giving me is ordering in. And, you know, it definitely sounds like great advice, you know. You've been around the block, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, and have a backup plan for everything.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
In case, what, like, something happens or, like, yeah, down the road, you're saying? Or,
like, if you've got people helping you at your booth, and you think, okay, what if something happens and that person doesn't show up, or, you know, have a backup plan for that. Have a backup plan that you're going to get there and you're going to start setting up, and, you know, just stuff happens and you just got to make sure you got everything. And I mean, here, I had a big goof up. We went to, I forgot what show it was. We got to the show, we had everything. And I left our case of catalogs sitting in the studio. Did not have catalogs for the show.
Ooh.
Oh,
this is not good.
Do the old the Kinko's run like Jer?
I think we did. Did we do that?
We had,
I don't know.
Beats.
Mike, too.
I think we had one. I dug up one catalog that I had in my truck or something, and we had it so that we could page through it with people. And, but luckily it was a small show.
Mike, one thing I want to touch on too, just so you, I don't know who you're bringing. You're going to bring help with you to the show, I imagine?
Yeah. Well, you know, my mom, dad, and my cousin go every year.
Hmm.
I did tell them I do not want them helping. My mom has a tendency to talk a lot. And,
of how great her son is?
It's a fast paced show. You know, she's a sales lady. She knows how to talk, but she, you know, it's a fast-paced show. You know, she'll be having conversations about people's haunts. So I'm bringing this one kid who actually, he just opened up an escape room out in Northwest Indiana, and he had a booth over at Chicago Fright. So Kind of familiar with, you know, the trade show scene. He knows the industry. He worked at other haunts, so, you know, still bringing somebody in the industry with me.
Well, it'll be good to have somebody, too, when you get hungry and you got to go make a food run. You don't want to leave your booth unattended. Bathroom breaks, and, you know, there may be a class that you just looking at saying, I really need to attend this class. At this show, Transworld, Midwest, or any other convention you decide to go. So that kind of leads into a question for the guys who've been there for many years. Do you ever take advantage of the classes and the after parties and things as well?
I'm going to touch on this, if you don't mind, Badger, first, because actually this is what I was following with Mike. Mike, what I was going to talk about was professionalism, which is a very important part of Transworld. The people around you, you have to hold professionalism of everybody around you and understand that that show does not end when you leave that convention center. That show and the people around you are an extension of your booth and your product line. And they have to hold professionalism at the highest standards outside the convention as well as inside. I make sure my staff, they know, do not touch a drink before Saturday night. There is no, you know, over partying, none of this, none of that. Before Saturday night. Once Saturday night comes and goes, you want to have a drink, but you don't get overly drunk because you are representing me and my brand and my company at the show. And you got to think bigger than the actual, you know, somebody's walking in, Mike, and they're from Six Flags and they're going to write a check for $10,000 or $15,000 for animatronics or $20,000. And they see your guy drinking, puking on the side of a, you know.
Guess
who ain't getting that check, Mike?
Yep.
Not yet. You won't deliver those products. So that's something that you have
to... We tell Badger the same thing. So.
You promised to never bring that up again.
As far as attending...
I never promise anything.
Damn it. That's what she...
You have to attend if you feel like you have to attend. But, Mike, honestly, you belong at your booth. There is no place other than where you should be than at that booth during that show. For no reason other than a bathroom break, or in my case, a quick cigarette break sometimes, should you leave that floor of that booth. This is game time. You're there. You have 4 days to make it happen. And nothing should interfere with making it happen at Transworld. I did a blood seminar 1 year, and I've never done anything like that again. You know, not being at my booth for an hour was instrumental to a lot of other people coming to my booth when I was there, and I was told by my customers that other people infiltrated my booth because when the cat's away, the mice will play. Other competitors, this, that, yada, yada. And I heard about it through the customer. Not like I knew, like my staff even knew who the hell was anybody, but I was tipped off by customers like, hey, this one was in your booth while you were doing your blood seminar. This one asked me, why do I got so many stickers on your props and not theirs? Da, 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 da. I was like, really? Oh, my God. I was like, wow, I will never step away from this booth again.
So it kind of does get a little competitive at times.
Are you kidding me? Oh, yes. Wait.
Last year, didn't Transworld crack? Transworld's been cracking down over the last couple of years. I think last year they banned people wearing costumes unless it's right in front of your booth and you're selling costumes.
Correct.
Casual, you know, people who are working in the industry are not supposed to be walking in costume. I don't think you can display your products outside of the immediate front of your booth. I know that, you know, Patrick and Doug and I were out in California for a week going to two different conventions last year. And, you know, I helped them walk around with some of their products as networking and showing them off and having a good time to people. But you can't do that at this show.
No.
Yeah, it used to be. And that's what a lot of people will say. It used to be almost like a Halloween party there where people would dress up and they come to the show and it was a blast and everybody would be walking around with everything. And we used to the lines in the morning were huge and we would go out before the doors would open as other people did to entertain the queue line at Transworld. And they loved it and no longer can do that. We got to stick right by our booth.
Yeah, I think part of the problem was a lot of vendors were complaining that a lot of the distractions were taking sales away. Because, like, you know, when somebody was coming down the aisle, like, with a whacked-out, crazy-ass costume, and, you know, it would actually turn the attention away from the buyers. And,
yeah.
You know, and immediately that's like, I was just talking to you for, like, 20 minutes, and we were just going to close the deal. And now this shiny new thing got your attention, and you're following it to take pictures. And then the problem is, like I tell my staff too, is like, you know, a lot of people too, Mike, and this is good to know, when you got someone's attention, a trans world, this and that, I mean, obviously great ideas will sell themselves. You don't have to sell them. Although having your mom there is not a bad idea if she's a trained salesperson. That's one thing I want to tell you. I think that's a big mistake that you're making right here, right now, not bringing your mom. Two.
Well, she's going.
I want to make sure you had that.
Be by the booth, which she probably will be by the booth the whole time, more or less. But
trans world is like you got to imagine, it's like, you know, you see, you know, from the customer standpoint, and they're walking in and they see so much stuff, right? So it's like, oh my god, bigger than if you're, you know, celebrate Christmas, bigger than a Toys R Us at Christmas, you know, that you could have almost. So everything or anything that you could afford, if you have the budget for it, it's there. So they want, I mean, they're overwhelmed. And it's like, you know, let's say they're looking at something and they're trying to buy something and they got an idea where they're going. And then somebody's like, hey, look at this guy over here. And they grab him. And I mean, those distractions actually do have. And then what happens is they might go somewhere and then they'll forget. I can't tell you how we'll be, you know, we'll close the booth on Sunday and the booth and people go, oh my God, I wanted to order something. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, I forgot to come. I mean, one year I had to take the stuff out of the truck for a couple of pieces we had left because they were like, oh, there was one I wanted to take home with me. I'm like, the truck's packed. And they're like, yeah, can you open it up? I was like, all right, come outside. You know, it's like, because they were so busy. It's just the show goes so fast. And as a vendor, Mike, one thing I could tell you is don't budge from your booth until Sunday morning. You want to get out there and go view the show? You could do so Sunday morning for like 2 hours. Everyone's so tired from Saturday night, they don't come to like, you know, real early. So if you got that 1 hour where you could venture and get free and do what you want.
Check out stuff, see what's up.
Correct, correct.
Yeah,
you could, you on Sunday, save. I tell all my staff too. They're like, oh, can I go see this? No. Can I do here? Can I go? No. Can I go? No. And if you go to the bathroom, I'm timing you. So if you wander around the show, your ass is grass. Because I need you at this booth. That's why I brought you here. You know, no wondering. Straight. I even tell them what bathroom to use. I'm like, go to that bathroom right there. I'm going to watch you go, and I want to see you get back. Because I one year had someone I brought who kept disappearing for 35, 40 minutes on me. And And I'm like, I got so aggravated, I walked him to the door. Because I take this very serious, especially.
Well, it's bringing your whole, you know, now you're getting, you know, you got to talk to customers in a positive tone. Now it's dragging you down.
Correct.
You know?
And this kid swore to me he was going to be great. I'll do great. I'll listen. He has ADD too, which I tried to give him a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a crutch there. But after like the fourth or fifth time that I'm looking for him on a Friday or a Saturday, I took his name tag off and I threw him outside the door and I let him sit outside for 2 hours. I was like, I have to get him away from me because I'm not selling. I can't focus with this kid here. He's driving me nuts. So that also is professionalism. Like, know who you're bringing with you to the show. Make sure. So
I was going to have a few people actually from the one haunt I work at, and then I was thinking it over, and, you know, the owner of the haunt is like, well, she's a makeup artist. She's always smoking cigarettes, taking breaks. And then I was like, yeah, no. So I found this kid who's really, you know, really enthusiastic. I think he'd fit the job well. So we'll see. Hopefully,
cross my fingers. I'll tell you too. I take away the cell phones.
No cell phones. All right.
Yeah, because you don't want a customer walking up with someone's on their cell phone and they think that first of all this guy is too distracted to talk to, that he's not important. And, you know, when you're at a show like that, you shouldn't be engaging into Facebook, Instagram, unless you're the business owner and you're taking shots of your booth to show how busy you are, show your product line. But anyone else could check that stuff on the side till the show closes. You know, they're there to perform a task, and that task is to help you get your company bigger. That's why you're bringing them, right? So you got to make sure they don't have their cell phones in their hands and that they're not distracted. There's a big problem with the millennials, not mean to throw any generation under the bus here.
I'm a millennial, so I know
how. Yes, in my shop, I've taken away everybody's cell phone and put them in a lockbox and give it to them on their break because that's how bad it is. And you know, it comes to a point, too. You got to make sure, Mike, too, that the people you bring with you can communicate with people. I can't tell you how many people I brought that were youngins, 22, 23, 24, 25, not going to tip anymore because you did your math on your age before. And they don't talk to people. They don't know how to communicate with people because they only know how to communicate through a mobile device. Not a good person to bring.
The infamous chair nod for the new vendors. Yeah, as you walk by, I'm in my chair and I'll nod at you.
As for doing that now, would you recommend, you know, say somebody's walking by, they're checking your stuff out, going up to them saying, hey, what's up? You want to see something? Got any questions? Or letting them come to you with those type of, you know, question or something?
My lead in is always, hi, do you have a haunt?
Start out with a small talk like that and see if they...
Yeah, if they have a haunt, I go, well, what kind of theme is it? You have a theme? And get into a conversation and then start... And then once you know what kind of theme they have and what kind of haunt they have, then you can kind of start relating that to your products too.
Oh, yeah. Bingo, absolutely. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, they'll be wearing the shirt of their haunt. I've worked booths and stuff, and that has been a fantastic icebreaker, an opener, really brings people down from their guard because they're, you know, they want to spend money, but they're worried about it too. And you can tailor your sales pitch to go, oh, you do this, this, and that. Okay, yeah, you know what? Check out this thing over here. You might not have seen it.
Mike, the best sales strategy, I mean, as far as Translord goes, these, you know, you got to understand too, the props, the products, the animatronics. The costumes, the masks, all the selling is done from the idea, mostly, in my opinion. If it's a great idea, it doesn't need that much selling power. However, there are some people you have to sell to. The worst, hardest sale I made was last year, and it was over a $300 sale. I know that sounds ridiculous because we're doing sales at a huge end. We got a $300 sale that I worked my butt off to make that sale because now it became a challenge to me. Right. There's one guy wanted to buy just my heads. Like, you're going to get questions like that. Like, guys are going to come up and say, I see here you got the props. They're $549. I'm like, yeah, if you buy one, if you buy two, the price goes. How much is for those heads? I'm like, I'm not selling you the heads. And he's like, why not? Because those heads are meant for those bodies. I don't sell just. I have a bunch of heads, though, hanging over there. You go take a look. And see what head you'll... No, I want those heads. I was like, well, then you're going to have to buy the whole body. And he's like, well... I was like, and I said, hold up. I said, let's talk for a second right here. I was like, what do you do for a living? He's like, I'm a farmer. I was like, okay, very good. I was like, let me ask you a question. I was like, you're going to make your own bodies for these heads? Is that what you're going to do? He goes, yeah. I was like, all right. I was like, well, who do you think is a better farmer, you or me? And he's like, me. I said, exactly. And rightfully so, because I don't know jack about farming. Who do you think builds a better body, me or you? And he's like, you. I was like, so what are we talking here? We're saying the difference between your heads that you want to spend, you said $200 per head. We're talking $300 more for the body. I was like, so $600. Is $600 going to put you outside this convention show with a tin can in your hand begging for a quarter after you give it to me? He's like, no. I was like, so then let me do my job and you do yours. All right, I'll take them. End of story.
Done deal.
Having worked for a farmer for 10 years, I picture that conversation perfectly.
Listen, you guys challenging me, I'm going to work. I don't care what the sale price is or the volume. It's just a mess. And that's why I think having your mom there is a good idea. Because you are going to get, not every sale is easy. Not everybody's going to walk in your booth with a blank check and say, here, Mike, this is for you. You're going to get tested. You're going to get, you know, people, especially being new, some people are going to be skeptical because, like, they don't know you. So you have to, you know, be ready for that, and so to speak. You got to be ready, you know. And there's people that, you know, for whatever reason, may not like you, but, you know, I get people that don't like me. I got one person. I'm a New Yorker, and it was three people. This was Transworld 2009. I had three conversations going on about selling props around me, and one guy walked away and says, he's not talking fast enough. And I was like, are you kidding me? I'm a New Yorker. You are faster than me?
What do you think of that?
I was like, he got offended. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm talking to three people at once, trying to answer questions. You know, but whatever, man. You can't please everybody. Rich Hamp told me that when I first started. I don't know if you know who he is, Mike. But
no,
Horror Master.
Horror Master? All right.
Yes. He told me, he said, don't try to please 100% of the people 100% of the times. You're going to drive yourself nuts. You're going to go crazy, and you'll never do it, and you're going to fail. If you can please 80 to 90%, you're doing something right. And that's the advice I took and have always taken through my process of being a vendor. 100 out of 100 is unrealistic. It's never going to happen. We can't do it. I can't do it with the best staff and this and that. We're never going to please every single body who orders every single prop. There may be a variation. There may be a damage. Someone might have not done their job correctly. You know, we cannot guarantee 100 out of 100. But as long as I can do 89, 90, 90, somewhere around that, I go to bed at night.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Hey, you know, need to start winding down. We're definitely hearing that, you know, it's so important to have a plan coming into Transworld. So I'm wondering, for each of you, what is just one of the must things, your must have, must do in your Transworld 2017 plan? And Patrick, why don't you take that one first?
Bring something new and innovative.
Awesome. Jeremy, what about you? What's one element for your 2017 Transworld plan?
Work harder than anybody else, Mike. That's the best advice I can give you. Work like, you know what, Mike? I've worked 17 hours just 2 days ago, and it's not even Halloween season, Mike. That means you should work 18 or 19.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're new. All right. Yeah. You want to beat me, Mike? So I got to beat you, right? And I'm working 18, 17 hours. I'm trying to beat you. And at the end of the day, who wins is the haunted houses because they get the best ideas, right? So work harder than anyone else. Work smarter. Be innovative and do your very best, but always work. That's the best advice I can give you. That's the best plan I got. Work. Like you know, 9 in the morning to midnight or 1 o'clock, and it's not Halloween season, because I am, and I ain't going to stop.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Doug, what are you, what's the element for your 2017 Transworld plan?
Sell. I try to make new friends at every show as far as being customers and other vendors, because relationships are what's going to build the business. So...
he's good at it, too.
Awesome. And now to throw the little twist to the rookie here tonight. Mike, after drinking from the fire hose tonight and everything we've discussed tonight, what's the one thing you've added to your 2017 Transworld plan after this discussion?
I think that I'm going to take Jeremy, which you prefer?
It doesn't matter, Mike. It's fine. Jeremy's the real name, but Jerry's fine.
I might have my mom stick around the booth a little more. So
I agree.
Ever bring fresh baked cookies. That'll get everything.
That's a great idea.
I'll be
over. Hey, I was going to interject one other thing. If you've got, and you know, there's static props and there's moving props, and if you've got moving props, have them moving at your booth.
Oh, yeah. They're all there's about four motorized, so they're all going to be activated, you know, constant. So,
bring extra motors and extra batteries.
I've learned.
My original plan was to bring a double of everything. The double props in case something happens. Just, you know, run out real quick, grab a replacement, pop it in, and you know that. I've seen it happen before. You're at Transworld. You know, you're trying to buy a product, and here's the guy fixing it. You know, it doesn't give the best impression. You know, you're going to want to spend $3,000 on an animatronic, and then it's going to break down after a little bit of use at the show, you know? How long is it going to last in my actual haunt? You know, so.
Mike, one more thing I could tell you is also, since you're doing animatronics, and I hear this from my customers about animatronics, I would test these animatronics rigorously before you get to the show. Run them for hours, because you're going to be running them for hours at the show nonstop. You don't want an animatronic breaking, malfunctioning, or not working during the show. That's one thing I could tell you. That's a sound bit of advice.
Yeah. You know, so, like I said, you know, I'm going to bring double, and just in case, we'll play it by ear, so we'll hope for the best.
There you go. Well, folks, looking at the clock here, it is time we start winding this up. It has been fascinating listening to all you guys give out some great advice on Transworld. Maybe if you're vending and you're listening to this, maybe you came away with something you didn't think about prior. But this is the part of the show we affectionately call the plugs, where you get to plug any future convention appearances beyond Transworld, maybe your website, your social media. And Mike, we'll let the new guy go first. What websites can people get more information about Hallucinations Creation?
You can find me on my website, which is hallucinationscreations.com. Website will be up about March 1st with all of our products. We've got an Instagram and also a Facebook page. The Facebook page always gets updated as we're working on stuff. We'll post some sneak peek pictures and whatnot. So catch us out on all three of those.
Excellent. How about you, Doug and Patrick? What's the websites for VFX?
VFX creates... What? VFXcreates.com. And we're at Facebook, VFX Creates, and I think we're on Twitter. And
Twitter, VFX Creates, Instagram, VFX Creates. And then you can find Doug at artguydesigns.com.
Yeah, we're going to be in Chicago in February at, what was
Windy
it called?
Windy City Haunters.
Oh, at Midnight Terror. That will be my first small convention, so we'll...
Oh, great.
You guys over there. I'm going to bring a few of the products I've been working on, so you guys will get a little sneak peek.
Good to see you there.
Go get some Chicago deep dish and drag Jeremy for his New York spiel. Jeremy, what's your creepy collection websites and social media and such?
Creepycollection.com. And social media, we have the fan page for Creepy Collection. We have another Facebook just for Creepy Collection, even though it says my name, Jeremy A. D'Alessandro. I had to change it because Facebook said I couldn't have Creepy Collection other than the fan page. And then there's also Instagram, which is Creepy Collection, and now Snapchat, Creepy Collection, for some outlandish little things. Like, we just posted a picture of a new mold on Snapchat today. But most people didn't see that because they're not on the Snapchat, but the Snapchatters did. And as far as conventions, Transworld, that's it. One and done. That's it. I ain't going nowhere else. I'm on the side with everything else, except maybe IAPA, which I keep hearing mentioned. I haven't done that show yet, so it's got my interest. I finally got to drive down to Florida this year to see that drive, so I'm interested in that. But other than that, we're going into St. Louis, baby.
If you go to IAPA, pick me up on the way down. I'll be the one standing on.
And listen, I'll take you. I actually, I'll pick you up if you want to go with me.
It's a date. And again, just to give us a plug, we're at booth 1444 at Transworld. So, and of course, you're hearing us now on BigScaryShow.com or iTunes. But I do want to thank all of our guests for some amazing discussions, some great advice, some things that we may not have heard about regarding Transworld from the people that make it happen. Once again, thank you to Doug, Patrick, Jeremy, and Mike, and our hosts, including Storm.
If you don't see me at Transworld this year, either as killed by the giant spider that's running around down here, or my work is working me too hard.
Aww. Mm.
Meat Hook Jim.
As per usual, I had something witty, and Storm just made it all go away, so I'll see most of you guys sometime at Transworld.
Great. and receiving the thanks for participating trophy, the Haunster medalist Jerry Vane.
Hey, I've been listening, but I've been working on the new album, so yeah.
Well, there you go.
And you may see me at Transworld.
Ooh, foreshadowing. My name is Drew Badger. My mystery number is 47 today, and hopefully you'll all realize what the mystery is later down the road. Once again, this is the Roundtable of Terror here on The Big Scary Show.
It's his pants size.
Are you afraid this haunt season? Afraid of long lines of dissatisfied customers just at your ticket booth? Afraid of all the processing fees and hassle with credit cards? Are you afraid to make that jump into online ticketing? Well, take the leap. TicketLeap. TicketLeap will give you online options for your customer. Beautiful event pages to give every single ticketing option you have now and loads of possibility. Smart tools to spread the word, engage with your customers, and connect to social media with great, simple payment processing and the friendly customer support to go with it. Do things you haven't dreamed of. Hey, what's a selfie ticket? Check out TicketLeap.com. They're going to show you what to do. And no haunt's too big or too small for them to process. You're going to have a beautiful event page, even if you have a home haunt. Hey, they have options for free events that you may have. And what better way to collect donations for a community? Tickets under $5. The fee is only 25 cents. Find out what TicketLeap has to offer to you. TicketLeap.com.
Broadcasting to you from the darkest reaches of the earth, this is A Haunt Minute. And now, with this week's commentary, Storm.
Alright, so, the creepiest thing I've read on the internet this week comes to us from Craigslist, of all places. That's right, there's this Craigslist ad with a 56-year-old guy who has this extra VIP ticket to Coachella, and he wants a traveling companion to join him. Yeah. This sets up for the greatest new horror franchise ever known to mankind. But it gets a little creepier from there. You know, this guy, I think his name is George or something in the ad. Well, he admits he's left his wife of 11 years, has cashed in his 401k, has quit his job at the soup company, and he just wants to have fun, so he wants to embark on this adventure. Now it gets creepy. He has these 20 items, list of demands, creeptacular hit list, of qualifications and things you'd have to do to get this free VIP ticket to Coachella. You gotta be female, between 19 and 25, okay, creeptacular. Comfortable riding in the vintage Shasta Chinook 3100, okay, yes, if you're trying to imagine a murder van, this is it. It is a late 70s conversion pickup with the camper built on the back, exactly as you would imagine a murder van would look like. You know, have a playlist. It really starts going into creep factor massive when you hit number 5, where the person must keep her hands and feet moisturized at all times. Be opportunistic and open-minded. You know, he's going to bring snacks, but if you bring some, you know, all the better. He even gets down to, like, what kind of clothes he wants a person to wear. Then there's really weird stuff with personal care. Like, you gotta have him brush your hair at least once a day. If you're going to, and this is the one that really took me as weird, if you're going to you know, groom, like, you know, clip your toenails or, you know, pluck eyebrow hairs or even apply lipstick, he has to be present. And once you're there, it's, you know, psychopathic qualities too. You can't show any public affection to anyone else going to the concert. You might get left behind or lose your privileges at the Motor Inn. You got to tell him at least twice during the weekend, I am naughty. We're really getting there. Creep factor 9. You look at this and, all right, Storm, yeah, that sounds like it's your normal run-of-the-mill, you know, horror movie, but who would be stupid enough to go with this guy? See, no, that's the point. George is a victim. George is going to die. Hi, I've just advertised, I've cashed in my 401k. George doesn't really sound like the kind of person who trusts institutions, say, banks or anything. You know, he's divorced his wife of 11 years and put out this ad. She doesn't want any part of him. Left the soup company job, but guess what? Even if he was still working there, George sort of seems like the kind of person that no one would miss. So yes, let's advertise to go out into the desert in the middle of nowhere to travel to get to Coachella in my personal murder van. That's right, yeah, somebody's going to answer this ad, George is going to think they're all innocent, and he's into his fantasy creeptacular weekend, and she's going to ask him to pull over to the first barn on the highway that he thinks is there to take pictures. One of the requirements are 4 Instagram pictures that they have to post. And George is going to pull over, and like 4 guys wearing tuxedos and rabbit mascot heads are going to walk out, and George is in for a weekend of torture and doom as, you know, they try and find out where he's buried the gold from his 401k in his backyard. Absolute horror franchise murder movie material here. So, yeah, no woman who is not planning to kill George is going to answer this ad. No, George is going to die. There's no two ways around this. If no one answers this movie, good for him, and let's keep watching for the creeptacularness. So, yeah, inspiration for haunt and horror is everywhere out there, including Craigslist. So until next time, keep every minute scary.
Tune in next episode for another Haunt Minute. And in the meantime, share your opinions on the Big Scary Show Facebook page and on Twitter at Big Scary Storm.
Hi, this is Josh Gates from Travel Channel's Expedition Unknown, reminding you to send all hate mail to storm@bigscaryshow.com.
The B-Movie Monsters, 1031, on the Big Scary Show.
Suffocating, leading to your door. The way the blade in the apples core. Painted faces over falling backs. Ghosts and dogs and bewitching hacks. I felt the breeze blowing through the trees. The moon shines on the fallen leaves.
excellent day for an exorcism.
Are you feeling just a little bit crazy? Are you looking for the right costume to match that craziness? Then you need to go to Von Caron Productions and check out The Insane Ensemble. If you've got a mad scientist just ready to start working on a monster, you've got to check out The Psychosurgical Coat. If you're ready just to start butchering people up, they've got a dissection smock. Or if you think you're just a little bit too crazy and need to be restrained, how about a commitment coat? Von Caron Productions and The Insane Ensemble. Committed to haunters who expect quality. And remember, Halloween is but once all year. Von Caron Productions. Check them out at www.voncaron.com. That's VONCHARON, Von Caron Productions.
Greetings, Frighteners, and welcome once more to the Weister's Haunted Vista, a.k.a. the Terror Turnpike. It's mid-January, Transworld is less than 2 months away, and as I am recording this, the dates for the 2017 Midwest Haunters Conventions have just been announced, June 9th through 11th, if you're curious, and the wife and I have already begun construction for our home display this year, as the yearning for a good dose of thrills and chills grows ever stronger as the days grow longer by gradual increments. As most folks know by now, my blogspot page, Sylveister's Halloween Haunt Journal, is loaded to the gills with commercial haunt reviews. These things are the blood and guts, pun definitely intended.
Oh, good grief.
And while I will never do sequential monthly reviews ever again, I am in the process of updating the lion's share of them, and that holds true here as well. And with that in mind, we're going to look into one of Cincinnati's most beloved and successful attractions, the Dent Schoolhouse, a place that my wife, Lisa, and I have had the joy of watching evolve continually over the last 12 years since our last initial visit. For perspective's sake, I'm going to give you some quick personal background. As most of you know, my wife and I have spent the last 3 years working at the Spring Barrel Haunted Hayride in Black Bog in Lebanon, Ohio. Towards the tail end of the past season, it was announced that the haunt would be closing permanently, until an 11th-hour purchase of the attraction was announced on the haunt's final open night. Prior to all of this, my wife and I were going to hang up our acting shoes for the 2017 season. One of the greatest joys in our marriage during the Halloween season, prior to all of this, was our keeping the roads hot and visiting renowned attractions all over the country. And, quite frankly, as much fun as the acting gig was, the road was calling our names again. Now, with the purchase and relocation of the hayride, we have committed to opening weekend and some part-time work, depending on how things play out. Not to mention assisting a few of our friends in other places on theirs as well as doing a spot or two with Maul. But overall, Lisa and I are going to be on the road quite a bit this season, and that will be reflected in some of my content for 2018 and so forward. So, with that in mind, let's journey on down to Cincinnati and take a look at the Dent Schoolhouse. Their website is FrightSite.com, and the usual Facebook and YouTube suspects do apply here. The Travel Channel did a nice segment on them quite a few years ago, and it does feature on their YouTube page. I'm a bit sentimental about this one. Due to its close proximity, it's about half an hour drive from our place, and we hit it almost annually since our initial visit in 2006 for quite a number of years. The schoolhouse is one of the oldest haunts in Ohio. For over 32 years, it's been scaring people silly, making best of lists for both Haunt World and Haunted Attraction magazine for many years, among many other websites, blog spots, and what have you not.
Thank you.
The schoolhouse theme permeates the atmosphere as you twist and turn through various scenes of carnage, monsters, and higher education gone horribly wrong. This element is played to the hilt. Do you have a phobia regarding scholastics? I'm certain they'll be happy to exploit it for you. For the record, Dent Schoolhouse is a completely different beast to the Haunted School and Lab in Akron, Ohio. There are no similarities between the two, and they feature totally different approaches to their craft. The haunt changes rooms and themes annually, and one year is never the same as the next, which can sometimes be to the show's detriment, but that's a rare occasion. As time has passed, they've unified their thematic ideas and scenery. In past seasons, they've had quite a few sections that didn't quite fit the bill. For example, an amazingly well-done Mummy's Crypt was a long part of that show, and it was spectacular, but in a Midwest schoolhouse? You get the idea. As I mentioned earlier, this place makes significant changes to its layout annually, and overall they're very good, but there have been a few that I've questioned, and, surprisingly enough, these spots always seem to disappear the following seasons. Imagine that. Dent has a mascot in their murderous janitor, Charlie, their readily identifiable ghoul at large. He's a kind of the reversal of the bad guys in the old Scooby-Doo cartoons. Run-ins with him tend to end not very well for the students or the meddling kids. My wife and I were fortunate enough to visit it last season, along with our god kids Bonnie and Sean, due to the fact that we just wanted to do something different, and we hadn't been to Dent, I think, since 2012 or 2011, I really forgot exactly when. And it did not disappoint. My wife and I, along with our godkids Bonnie and Sean, were fortunate enough to catch Dent towards the tail end of the 2016 season. It was really a sight to see. We had not been there since, I think, 2011 or 2012, memory fails me at this point, and wow, what a difference. I have to give full props to the unknown scare actor. We had spent one evening in the company of Maul, working at the Indy Scream Park, and we had discussed that schoolhouse, never really thinking that we were going to visit it, and he had given them such a high recommendation that, after dinner with our godkids, we had decided to pay them a visit, and my oh my, we were not disappointed in the slightest. For the record, you have three options in terms of tickets. Standard ticketing, fast pass, and I don't want to wait. And the line that evening was enormous, so we went for I don't want to wait. Yeah, it was expensive, but it was definitely worth it. We got in, we got out, and we loved every minute of it. This year featuring an extensive outdoor maze that has its ups and downs, but like I said, they change things annually, and this really was one of the more superior versions of it. Be forewarned, this is a very gory bloodbath in places, and do not bring in the little tykes at all. Highlights? Once again, I keep saying this, they change things annually, so it's hard to say, but in past seasons, there was a nice little twist to look back into the 1951 prom and the spirits that had stormed the auditorium and a dead schoolgirl's cries out for help. The schoolhouse is just jam-packed with special effects. Watch out for the giant beasties who burst through the wall, or the sewers, or Frankenstein's creation running amok in the laboratory, and be on the lookout for a huge rock monster as well. No, not you. Dent also has some great queue line actors who interact with the customers, with some really original ideas running behind them. For example, you may encounter parents crying out for their lost children, wicked witches trying to throw the whammy on you, plus an array of goblins and ghouls just dying to get their hands on you. Ha ha ha. Even the teen set seemed a bit unnerved by this aspect of it. A quick observation regarding Ohio haunts. My wife and I have called the state home for a number of years, even though things look towards us heading back to the Windy City one of these days, but I have to say this much. In regards to the quantity and quality of haunted houses per capita, Ohio ranks as one of the top dogs in the USA. There is so much to explore out here. I can honestly say if you have the time to invest, give the state a close examination, and consider this. Of all the haunts I have or will review, some of the truly most memorable are located in Ohio. Obviously the Dent Schoolhouse, Akron's Haunted School and Lab, Columbus's Dead Acres, and quite a few others, just to name a few. All unique, all amazing, and all here. Just a word to the wise. To put a cap on all of it, if you're looking for something special in regards to haunting, you could do worse than to start in Ohio. There's something in the blood out here, if you get my drift.
You drank someone's blood? Are you crazy?
Bringing things around back to Dent, some final observations. Parking is plentiful, but on the busier parts of the season, be prepared to get there early or be prepared to do some walking because it fills up fast. I've already mentioned the ticket options, and once more, do not bring young kids to this. You will terrify them beyond all recompensation. At the end of the day, I'm going to give Dent Schoolhouse 4.5 hidden bodies out of 5. You figure that part out. One of the truly remarkable haunts of the Ohio-Cincinnati area. Give it a shot, and remember, school's in session, so don't be late.
Ah, shut up, will you?
Almost there. When next we meet, with Transworld now less than 2 months away, we're going to take a look into the work of a good friend of mine and the Big Scary Shows. He's been here many times before, but in terms of voice acting and the services he offers, he is most certainly worthy of a closer look. I'm referring, of course, to none other than the voice from hell himself, a.k.a. Mr. Dick Terhoon, and where he's come from, where he's headed, and what he can do for your haunt, be it commercial or otherwise. And while on the subject of Transworld, I'm going to make a quick note to say that my segment will go dark for the month of March to make way for all the 2017 Transworld coverage that will be going on here. I'll return sometime in April with another gaggle of goodies for the remainder of the year.
After my rest, my need is only to stay in darkness.
Speaking of darkness, got a comment, question, or suggestion? You can reach me at ericbssh@gmail.com, or you can reach me on Facebook under Eric Weister. You stand a better chance, though, of catching me on Facebook. I do answer both mediums. And while you're at it, have a gander at my Blogspot page, the Weister's Halloween Haunt Journal. There will be a visual accompaniment to this segment. I cannot promise when, but it will be soon, and I will make an announcement when it's ready. Besides that, there's plenty there for the discriminating hoarder to gaggle and oogle and google over. Take that any way you want to. So, until next time, always remember Svengoolie's credo and brush your fangs, comb your face, drink your milk before it clots, bite Mama goodnight, and always remember that I hid Drew's body after he forced me to watch the 1979 Frank Langella Dracula, unaware of the secret powers that it would grant me.
You fools. Do you think with your crosses and your wavers you can destroy me? You do not know how many men have come against me. I am the king of my kind.
And with that, we will say a hearty good night and see everybody in 2 weeks.
CreepyCollection.com. The most disturbing, realistic, handmade props and animatronics for the horror industry. Now featuring FearFlex technology. Voted best zombie props of 2011 and 2012. CreepyCollection.com. For all your gore and more.
As we slide back into the swamp where we hid the body, we would like to thank the following sponsors. Screamline Studios, Gantom Lighting, Dark Imaginings, Von Caron Productions, Haunt Pay, Necrotic Creations, Ticket Leap, Haunter's Digest, and Creepy Collection. We would also like to thank Virgil Franklin, Master of the Ether Muse, as well as the Fordga hosts, including Storm, Rants and More, HauntMinute.com, The Unknown Scare Actor, Actor Trainer and Traveling Actor Troupe. For more information, check out MaulMonsters.com. That's MaulMonsters.com. Drew Badger, actor, trainer, and consultant. Find out more at rabidbadger.org. And Jerry Vane, the Hauntstrumentalist. For all your heavy metal and haunt needs, jerryvane.com. And finally, you, the listener. Without you, we are nothing.
The Big Scary Show is copyright Big Scary Show, LLC, and no rebroadcast of this show may be made without express permission of the owners. All music used on The Big Scary Show is used with expressed permission of the artists themselves.